Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. What happens to us as we get older? How do we take care of mom and dad? How do we make sense out of frailty? But what do we do when the parts begin to fall off? How do we make wise decisions? How do we determine how we're going to pay for care? How do we determine who's going to take care of us? How do we make decisions we never, ever, add a whole bunch of evers here, ever thought we were going to have to make? How do we deal with situations we never, ever imagined in our wildest places that we would have to deal with? Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I am your host, Bob Scrivano, here for 18 years on KFBK. And glad to have you with us. Lots to talk about, some stuff in books, some stuff personal, some case studies, just lots of things going on, and I want to make you aware of what's going on. Before I get to stuff, I've got to get some stuff out of the way here. Remember, I'm not an attorney. Pardon me. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the hell they're talking about. Yes, I said that. I know I said that because you cannot believe the stuff I see come across my desk, folks, sometimes. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, California. I'm not securities licensed. Don't want to be, because then I can tell you the truth. I don't know. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal or tax advice, and all like that there. Because if I don't say all those things, I will get sued. Guaranteed. For 20 years, there are groups and organizations everywhere that have made it their mission to stop this show and stop what I do. They have told me that. I have had representatives of organizations tell me that their only job in life is to put me out of business. Because there are lots of organizations and groups that really don't want you to know how this all works, how VA works, how Medi-Cal works, how spend down works, how look back works, how all of that stuff works. There are lots of groups and organizations, especially phony nonprofits, that spend their entire lives lying to seniors about what they're up to. That I am not a for-profit, a nonprofit. This is a for-profit company. And what I do is open, and I've been doing it openly for 18 years right here on KFBK. The other ways you can get a hold of me. The easiest way, if you're dealing with a crisis situation or just want to, for crying out loud, have a plan. Remember, the theme of this show has become hope is not a plan. But if you want to get a hold of me, you can always call my office at 800, yes, even in Sacramento, which is where this show comes from. You call my 800 number, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. And you can also reach me on my website, assetsandaging.com. That's A-S-S-E-T-S-A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com, where you can sign up for a workshop. You can sign up to come and see me. You can ask me a question. You can get information. You can sign up for my free email newsletter. You can do all kinds of things to get the information you need to make sure that at the end of the day, you're making wise decisions about what you do. What else do I need to tell you? Don't forget my podcasts every Wednesday at noon. They're live. You can also listen, by the way, to my archived podcasts and radio shows on my website. They're archived there, and you can go there and listen to them. And every week I do a podcast every Wednesday at noon live on a different subject. It's no more than 15 minutes. If you can't join me live, you can listen to my podcasts on the computer. If you don't have a computer, borrow, you know, have your kids listen and send it to you or whatever, or what, I don't care. Or get signed up for my email newsletter. Sorry, I don't mail them out. They're by email only. Quite frankly, to keep expenses down. But you can always be informed on what's happening. Okay, let me get to the first outrage of the week. You know, the Department of Healthcare Services is probably the most mismanaged department on the planet. They just scuttled. Now listen to this. This is the largest state-run government agency in California. I forget what its budget is, but it's in the tens and maybe hundreds of billions of dollars. But they, and you know, and to them, money is nothing because it's not their money. It's your money. It's my money. It's the taxpayers' money. Okay. Well, they've been working on a computer system. I have a good friend who's an elder law attorney, and he has a great saying. He has a great theory. The government agencies should never be allowed to develop their own computer system, ever. But the Department of Healthcare Services, Medi-Cal, just scuttled a $179 million computer program because it can't get it to work. The greatest minds in the universe, as we all know, work for the state of California. And in my lifetime, and your lifetime, folks, how many state computer systems have they had to scuttle because they can't get them to work? It's stunning how many it's just stunning. So anyhow, it's only money. You know, we've recovered over $1 billion from the estates of dead seniors. That's okay, but blowing $179 million that could have gone to healthcare in the state of California on a computer system—that's no big deal. It's only $179 million. It's chump change. And for any of you that believe the state of California is running a surplus, you're out of your minds. For any of you that believe the Department of Healthcare Services and Medi-Cal is not on the verge of having gigantic deficits, you're out of your mind. Okay, that said, I want to talk today a little bit about... one of the things I do, and those of you that didn't know anything about Google, you can do a Google Words alert, and you can have different Google Words pop up. So, for instance, I do a Google Words alert for Medi-Cal and VA benefits. So I get all this stuff. Anytime there's an article anywhere on Medi-Cal, it pops up in my email. And I highly suggest you do that because... It will be, you will get an education like you can't believe. And you guys, and you people out there that are vets, you should do that too. Just do a Google Words pop-up for veterans and or VA, and you will learn things you wish you hadn't learned. It's stunning what's going on and what's happening. Okay, that said, let's talk about what I want to talk about a little bit today. And remember, you can always get a hold of me by calling my office, 800-999-8007, or going to my website, going to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, aging.com. Okay, I've been talking lately about a book, and it's the best book written. I'm writing a book right now, and other than my book, which will be coming out soon, we're just working on it because I want to make it really good. I want to read you something from, if I can find it here, I got to find it. I had it marked in this book, by the way, if you haven't, we had a great workshop last weekend. I mean, a great workshop. If you haven't ever been to one of my workshops, you ought to come. Seriously, you should come. Because the workshops I do are like nothing else you've ever been to. Like nothing else you have ever been to. My workshops are unique. We actually work on good stuff. I want to read you a couple things that I think are important from this book. And the name of the book is Being Mortal, and I highly recommend it to you. Now, I only recommend it to you if you read it and then act on it. You know, my life is full of people that come into my office, and there's a crisis in their life. There's a crisis. Mom is this, or dad is this, or my husband is this. And the crisis didn't happen today. The crisis started happening 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, it's a crisis. Because we refuse to acknowledge what's going on. I had somebody in my office the other day that has a completely disabled son. An older child. Completely disabled. In fact, this week I've had two of them. I had somebody in my office, folks, who has their older child. I will put it to you this way. There's not a minor child. This child is well into his or her 30s or 40s. And that child lives with them. And there's no conservatorship. They have no control over that child's life. They have no powers of attorney. They have no rights to make medical decisions. They have no rights to do anything. And they're trying to figure out what to do and who's going to take care of this child when they die. Well, they have no right to make that decision because they have no control over that child. Well, Bob, the child has Down syndrome. I know, but the child is over 18. And they have no control. They have no legal control over this child. I had another person come in who has a child that's completely disabled, has a fairly large estate, And it was planning on leaving that disabled child who's on Medi-Cal and is a ward of the state half of their estate, which means the state of California now would have been in charge after they died of half of their estate. It is stunning to me how many people out there are dealing with frailty and disability and long-term care issues in their families and absolutely will not confront it and will not deal with it and will not admit that it's happening. Okay, I want to read you something. This book is really important, but I want to read you a couple things. And the name of this book is Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G, Mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L, and the author is Atul Gawande. He's a doctor. But just look up Being Mortal and buy it. I brought a bunch of them to my workshop last weekend, and they disappeared in 5 seconds. Being Mortal. I want to read you something, and I want you to listen. Again, I'm reading from this book. These are not my words. This is from the book Being Mortal. Modern scientific capability has profoundly altered the course of human life. People live longer and better than at any other time in history. But scientific advances have turned the process of aging and dying into medical experiences, matters to be managed by healthcare professionals, and we in the medical world have proved alarmingly unprepared for it. The reality has been largely hidden. As the final phases of life become less familiar to people, as recently as 1945, I was born in 1945, folks. It wasn't all that long ago. As recently as 1945, I continue to read from the book, most deaths occurred in the home. Stop and think about that. Why is that important? It's important because people were familiar with death and dying and the process. Everybody had seen death. Everybody in families was familiar with death. When my dad was growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, he grew up in an Italian ghetto, and he was surrounded by 8,000 family and friends and relatives and aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents, and they were all involved in watching the living and dying process. We don't live in that circumstance anymore. I continue to read from the book. Again, as recently as 1945, most deaths occurred in the home. By the 1980s, just 17% did. And that number is lower today, by the way. Those who somehow did die at home likely died too suddenly to make it to the hospital, say from a massive heart attack, stroke, or violent injury, or were too isolated to get somewhere that could provide help. Now listen to this. Across not just the United States, but also the entire industrialized world, the experience of advanced aging and death has shifted to hospitals and nursing homes. There has been a tectonic shift in how we deal with aging, in how we deal with death. That shift is going to continue to accelerate. We are no longer used to do, as a society, we kind of all know that death and disability and decay are out there, but we don't live in communities where we observe it on a regular basis. We don't see it all the time anymore. Stop and think about that. As recently as 1945, most people died at home. Most people today do not die at home. Very few people today die at home. Yet if I talk to a group of people, they would all say, me included, every single person, without exception, would say their goal in life is to die at home, to die asleep, at home, surrounded by their family, and it is not going to happen. You can pretend it's going to happen. You can hope it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen. It's very rare. And somebody says, well, I remember when grandma, you know, died at home. Well, that was 30 years ago when grandma died at home. It is very rare. Most aging now takes place in homes, in assisted living, in boarding cares, in nursing homes. Even if it does take place at home, it takes place with a caregiver present. It could be a family member, it could be a relative, or it could be a professional caregiver that you're paying for. The reality of life in America and most of the world today is that we wind up aging not in place, we wind up aging in a facility or somewhere else. We don't wind up aging at home. I had somebody in my office in the last couple weeks that had just finished chemotherapy, but it looked like things were not going well and it was coming back. And that person had no plans for hospice care, had no plans in place for how they were going to die or where they were going to die or the circumstances of their death. They left my office going home to think about it some more. The process that we go through today, the mental gymnastics that we go through today to deny the reality of death and dying and frailty in our families, to me, is staggering, folks. It's the most discouraging part of what I do, is trying to get people to deal with the reality of where they are. That's why this book is so important. That's why what is being said here and what I'm going to say in my upcoming book is so important. I cannot tell you. I had a client this week call me. I started dealing with them last year. Dad was in a nursing home. They couldn't stand it, so they brought Dad home. Guess what it did? It damaged Mom's health, and now Dad's going back into the nursing home, and they don't know what to do. And my answer to them was, I tried to address this with you last year. Why didn't you pay attention to me? Why was it you thought it was going to get better? And part of the reason is the 900-pound gorilla in the room, which I've talked about before, which is guilt. We can't confront the fact of the reality of our own mortality, our own morbidity, our own failure, that of our mom and dad or our aunt or our uncle, and then throw into it some family dysfunction and you have a recipe for disaster. If I accomplish nothing in my life but getting people who listen to this show and who come to see me to deal with the reality of what's going on in their family, then it will have been worthwhile. All of the attacks, all of the other stuff, all of the frustration will have been worthwhile when I can get people to actually confront what's going on in their life. I cannot tell you how important it is to begin to deal with all of this. I cannot begin to tell you how important it is. I cannot tell you how fundamentally, at what a fundamental level you can impact your own family for the better by paying attention to this. I cannot begin to tell you. I don't know how to make it more important to you than to tell you that. I want to read you something else from this book. And I want you to listen. And then I want you to share this with your family. But I really want you to listen. And I may not finish that before this first part of our show is over. In fact, you know what? I'm going to wait until after to talk about this, the next thing I want to talk about. I want to read you one other thing from this book that is short. This is a book about the modern experience of mortality, about what it's like to be creatures who age and die, how medicine has changed the experience and how it hasn't, where our ideas about how to deal with our finitude have got the reality wrong. I want to tell you about another book that you need to read, and it's called When Breath Becomes Air. When Breath Becomes Air. And I cannot remember the name of the doctor. It was written by also a neurosurgeon who at age 36 found out he had terminal stage 4 lung cancer. One of the things he says in the book is there are two things that doctors are trained to fix things. They fix things. I have artificial knees. The doctor fixed my knees. My gallbladder was bad, so I had my gallbladder taken out. It was fixed. I had a tumor on a kidney. They took the kidney out. It was fixed. But we're used to having things fixed. But one of the things that he says in the book, When Breath Becomes Air, is there are two things that are not fixable. There are two things that are incurable. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we will be. And the two things that are incurable are aging and dying. We cannot do anything about either one of those, and yet we have these unreal expectations of both of those. Somehow we believe that we can control the aging process. We can't. And somehow we believe that we cannot die, and we're going to. 85% of us will lose independence before we die. We will not be able to care for ourselves in some way. We will become frail and we will need help. We will not be independent. Aging and death are incurable. Hope is not a plan. If your plan for dealing with aging and dying is, well, I hope it all works out, you're going to leave a mess behind. Hope, by its nature, don't confuse hope and faith. They're different things. Hope, by its very nature, is a negative word. If I'm hoping something's going to happen, it means I'm doing nothing about it. Hope is not a plan. You are going to age, Your mother's going to age, your father's going to age, your spouse is going to age, sometimes well, sometimes not well, and the end of that aging process will be death. How are you prepared for it? If you're not, then, and you want your plan to be other than hope, then get on the phone during the break and call me. 800-999-8007 and get in to see me. The consultation is free. 800-999-8007. The consultation is free, but begin to develop a real plan. Hope is not a plan. Make sure that you and your family are prepared for the inevitability of aging and dying. We'll be back in just a minute. I have more to read from this wonderful book and more to talk about right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Talking about the two inevitabilities in life, the two incurable diseases of life, aging and dying, and how to prepare for those and how to make sense out of those. Again, you can reach me at my office, 800-999-8007. You can go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Again, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G. If you're dealing with the issues of aging, with frailty, with dementia, with how do we take care of mom, how do we make wise decisions, the answers are here. I have the answers to not all the questions of the aging and end-of-life issues, but most of them. And the answers that I don't have, I know people that do have them. So you have a choice. You can make a difference. You can figure out what you're going to do or what you're not going to do. But that decision rests entirely with you and with your family. Or you can leave a total mess for yourself and for your family. I've been reading from a book earlier, and I want to continue to read some from it. It's a book called Being Mortal, and I highly suggest you go buy it. You also should go to my website and sign up for my next workshop. My next workshop, you can already sign up for it. It will be in May, and I do them every month, and you should sign up for my next workshop. I think it's going to be important that you do that. It's simple to do. Just go to assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up for my next workshop, or you can also sign up for an appointment, or you can just send me a question, or you can call me at 800-999-8007 and begin to take care of what happens. I want to read you something from this book. It's called Being Mortal by Dr. Atul Gawande. And I want to read you something, and it's maybe the most important part of this book. And I want you to listen again with your heart, not with your head. I want you to absorb this into your soul. And I want you to allow it to work there, so that you can understand what really happens, not what myth tells us that's going to happen, or Pollyanna-ish kind of magical thinking is going to happen, or that triangles are going to save us, or whatever it is. I want you to listen to this. Again, I'm reading from the book Being Mortal. The story of, this is maybe the most important thing he says. The story of aging is the story of our parts. Consider the teeth. The hardest substance in the human body is the white enamel of the teeth. With age, it nonetheless wears away, allowing the softer, darker layers underneath to show through. Meanwhile, the blood supply to the pulp and the roots of the teeth atrophies, and the flow of saliva diminishes. The gums tend to become inflamed and pull away from the teeth. exposing the base, making them unstable and elongating their appearance, especially the lower ones. Experts say they can gauge a person's age to within 5 years from the examination of a single tooth. If the person has any teeth left to examine, scrupulous dental care can help avert tooth loss, but growing old gets in the way. Arthritis, tremors, and small strokes, for example, make it difficult to brush and floss. And because nerves become less sensitive with age, people may not realize that they have cavity and gum problems until it's too late. In the course of a normal lifetime, the muscles of the jaw lose about 40% of their mass, and the bones of the mandible, that's your jaw, lose about 20%, becoming porous and weak. It's why older people have problems eating, folks, why they can't chew a piece of steak. There's less saliva to break down the food. Their jaws become weak. Their teeth become weak. Okay? The ability to chew declines, and people shift to softer foods, which are generally higher in fermentable carbohydrates and more likely to cause cavities. By the age of 60, people in an industrialized country like the United States have lost on average a third of their teeth. At 85, almost 40% have no teeth at all. Do you think that has an impact on the aging process and on mom's ability to stay independent? What do you think? Do you think that's possible? Are you aware of that going on in your life or your loved one's life? Are you paying attention to the reality of the aging process in their life? Or does everybody say, well, mom's just a little forgetful? I'm reading from the book. I continue. Even as our bones and teeth soften, the rest of our body hardens. Blood vessels, again, I'm reading from the book called Being Mortal. Buy it. Blood vessels, joints, the muscle, and valves of the heart, and even the lungs pick up substantial deposits of calcium and turn stiff. Under a microscope, the vessels and soft tissues display the same form of calcium that you find in bone. When you reach inside an, this guy's a surgeon, okay? When you reach inside an elderly patient during surgery, the aorta and other major vessels can feel crunchy under your fingers. Research has found that loss of bone density may be an even better predictor of death from atherosclerotic disease than cholesterol levels. As we age, it's as if the calcium seeps out of our skeletons and into our tissues. To maintain the same volume of blood flow through our narrowed and stiffened blood vessels, the heart has to generate increased pressure. As a result, more than half of us develop hypertension by the age of 65. The heart becomes thick-walled from having to pump against the pressure and less able to respond to the demands of exertion. The peak output of the heart, therefore, decreases steadily from the age of 30. You can't stop the aging and dying process, folks. I read again. People become gradually less able to run as far or as fast as they used to, or climb a flight of stairs without becoming short of breath. As the heart muscle thickens, muscle elsewhere thins. Around age 40, one begins to lose muscle mass and power. By age 80, one has lost between a quarter and a half of one's muscle weight. You can see all these processes play out just in the hand. Hold your hand palm side up in front of you while I'm reading this. 40% of the muscle mass, I'm reading from the book, 40% of the muscle mass of the hand is in the thenar muscles, the muscles of the thumb. And if you look carefully at the palm of an older person, at the base of the thumb, you will notice that the musculature is not bulging, but flat. That big muscle in your thumb when you were young, you used to bulge. As you get older, it flattens out, showing muscle loss. You can see it in your hand. I can see it in my hand. Okay? I'm reading. In a plain x-ray, you will see speckles of calcification in the arteries and translucency of the bones, which from age 50 lose their density at a rate of nearly 1% per year. The hand has 29 joints, each of which is prone to destruction from osteoarthritis, and this will give the joint surfaces a ragged, worn appearance. The joint space collapses. You can see bone touching bone. What the person feels is swelling around the joints, reduced range of motion of the wrist, diminished grip and pain. The hand also has 48 named nerve branches. Deterioration of the cutaneous mechanoreceptors in the pads of the fingers produces loss of sensitivity to touch. Loss of motor neurons produces loss of dexterity. Handwriting degrades. Hand speed and vibration sense declines. Using a standard mobile phone with its tiny buttons and touchscreen display becomes increasingly unmanageable. Listen to the following. Please. Please listen. This is normal. I'm reading from the book. Although the processes can be slowed, they cannot be stopped. Our functional lung capacity decreases, our bowels slow down, our glands stop functioning, even our brains shrink. At the age of 30, the brain is a 3-pound organ that barely fits inside the skulls. By our 70s, gray matter loss leaves almost an inch of spare room. That's why elderly people, like my grandfather, he talks about his grandfather in the book, are so much more prone to cerebral bleeding after a blow to the head. That's one of the reasons, folks, why falls are not funny things in the elderly. After a blow to the head, the brain actually rattles around inside. I'm reading from the book. The earliest portions to shrink are generally the frontal lobes, which govern judgment and planning, and the hippocampus, where memory is organized. As a consequence, memory and the ability to gather and weigh multiple ideas, to multitask, peaks in midlife and then gradually declines. Processing speeds start decreasing well before age 40. By age 85, working memory and judgment are sufficiently impaired that 40% of us have textbook dementia. What's my point in reading this? My point in reading this is to try to get people to deal with the reality of what's happening to them. The reality of life as we age in our families, in ourselves, in our mom, in our dad, in our grandma, in our grandpa, and to grasp the fact that hope is not a plan. One of the things that this doctor makes plain, and the other doctor, I don't have the book in front of me, I can't remember his name, and When Breath Becomes Air, is you cannot stop the aging and dying process. What you can do is plan for it. But hope is not a plan. You can plan for it, but you cannot stop it. What's your plan? What's your plan for dealing with mom's frailty? You know, people, well, one of the things I'll ask people when they come into the office sometimes tell me a little bit about your mom. Tell me a little about your dad. And one of the questions I'll say is, does your mom fall or does your dad fall? Oh, no. They fell once. Do you live with your mom and dad? Well, no. Well, how do you know they fell once? Well, because they told me they fell once. They're lying to you. If they fell once, they've fallen five times. It's just that they don't want to let you know that they're falling. Falls are not funny, folks. old people fall and break things, and it's not funny. A broken hip many times leads to death because of inactivity and pneumonia. Your mom, who is 80 years old, lives in a two-story house, and every day she has to navigate steps. Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea? What do you think? Your mom, who's 80 years old, likes to take a bath, and every day, and there's no hand railings in the bathroom, but every day she gets in and out of the bathtub, stepping over the floor, stepping over the edge of the tub, into the tub, which is slippery, and then when she's all done, she has to stand up out of the tub after being in warm water, which does things to blood pressure, and now she has to stand up. And sometimes when we stand up when we're old, our blood pressure drops, and then she has to step over the tub railing again and get the towel and then try to dry herself off. All of this while being 80 years old, frail and unstable. And do we think that's a good idea? But Bob, I don't want to interfere with my mom's life. Well, then don't. And then live with the consequence. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard in my office, "We didn't know Mom was so bad. Why didn't you know?" "Well, we suspected, but we just didn't want to." "Did you ever go over to your mom's house unannounced?" "Well, no, we didn't do that because, you know, we didn't want to interfere." "Then how are you going to know when she knows you're coming? Do you think she's going to be on her best behavior or what it's like the rest of the time when she's alone?" When you call your mom who lives in Ohio and you say, "How are you?" What do you think she's going to say? She's going to say she's fine, that everything's okay. Do you know any of her neighbors? Do you have a cousin back there? Do they ever stop in unannounced and check on her and then report back to you? "Well, Bob, I don't like to interfere in my parents' life." Why? They're your parents. You don't want to know what's going on? I would think knowing what's going on would be a really good idea. "Well, Bob, I don't like to be a burden on my children." Why? That's what they're there for, is to be a burden on. Your children are who are going to take care of you. Your children are the ones making decisions for you. Don't you think they should have the right information? Don't they think? I can't tell you how many people come into my office and I say, "Do you have funeral plans?" "Yes, I have a plot. My husband and I have a plot, and we have a plot out at wherever it is, and we have a plot." That's not a funeral plan, folks. Do your kids know what your funeral plan is? Do they know where you want to be? Do they know whether you want to be cremated or have a memorial service or have a casket or be buried in a Folgers can? And do they then have the authority to fulfill your wishes? Do you understand that all of that is really, really, really important? It's really, really, really important. You have to have some kind of an understanding of what's going on. You have to know what's going on in their life. You have to know what's going on in mom and dad's life. And mom and dad, you have to share this with your children because they're the ones that are going to take care of you. They're the ones who are going to make decisions. They're the ones who are going to do all of this. If you don't take care of it, then who's going to take care of it? There has to be somebody that's going to be involved. Have you had a family conference? One of the things I give out at my workshops, and I do all the time, is an agenda for a family conference. I facilitate them all the time. I encourage people to get together as families and talk about what's going on and how I want to be taken care of as an adult and how I want people to be able to make decisions for me and how I want to do all of that kind of stuff. How do I do all that? If we don't, remember, hope is not a plan. So how do I make all of these decisions? How do I choose what's wise? How do I get together? What if there's a problem maker in the family? What if there's one of the children that's, you know, I don't want dealing with my life, or has special problems, or has drug or alcohol problems, or whatever? How do I make sure they don't wind up in charge of my life? If I have a disabled child and I'm taking care of that disabled child, what happens to that disabled child when I die, or if I become disabled? Are they going to be able to continue to live at home? I don't know. Do you know the answer in your life? And do your children know the answer in your life? That's why planning for all of this is so important. When was the last time you sat down with somebody and said, okay, here's where I am. I'm 70 years old or whatever it is. Here's my health problems. Do your kids even know who your doctor is? Do they have access to your doctor? Do they have HIPAA authorizations with your doctor? Do they know what hospital you would want to go to? Do they know what your end-of-life wishes are? Have you discussed them with them? Do they have the authority to implement your end-of-life decisions? Do they have the authority to deal with your bank accounts and your house? What if you wind up going to assisted living? Can they sell your house and use that money to take care of you? If you need care at home, can they deal with the house? Can they deal with your money? Can they hire a caregiver? Can they sign a contract? Can they get paid without being accused of elder abuse? Have all of those things been discussed? Or is your plan for aging, well, I hope it all works out. And your plan for your mom is, I hope it all works out. Or the secret desire, which is, I hope I die before I need all this stuff. I don't know the answer to all of those in your life, folks. I do know that hope is not a plan. And I know that you have the choice of making decisions. For 25 years, I and this show have been California's single best resource for solutions to the issues of aging. Take advantage of it while I'm still around. For those of you that have been on the fence or are on the fence, make a decision to make a change. Make a decision to have a plan. It's important stuff. Do it. Have a plan. Get your family involved. Stop keeping family secrets about how bad dad's dementia really is because I don't want to worry the kids. You've got to worry the kids because what happens when you as the spouse caregiver drop dead and the kids didn't really know how bad dad was? It's important that families be together on these two incurable diseases, one of which is aging and the other one which is death. Those two realities are incurable. They're going to happen. What's your plan to manage them? My wife and I went out to dinner last night. We went to a great new restaurant here in Sacramento called Cask and Barrel. I highly recommend it. Seriously. It's over on Del Paso Boulevard and Arden Way. It's fabulous. But we had a plan to go. You know, we had arranged a couple days before. We said, let's go there. It's a new restaurant. Let's go. Here's the time we're going. Make sure we're here. You know, what are we going to wear? And all, you know, to go out to a simple dinner. We had a plan. For the two things that are going to happen to you, which are serious, which are aging and dying, do you have a plan? We have a plan for what we're going to have for breakfast. Do you have a plan for aging and dying, or is hope your plan? And do your children know what your plan is? Children, do you know what your parents' plan is? If you have a birthday party, you have a plan. What are we going to have? What kind of cake? Who are we going to invite? Who's on the list? We'll spend, I can't tell you how much time we spent planning, or my wife spent planning, our son's wedding. How much? Those of you that have planned a wedding, how much goes into that? And that's a one-off for the most part, and then it's done. The aging process can go on for 20 years. The dying process can go on for years. Do you have a plan for that? Are you willing to spend at least as much time planning for those two things as you are planning for a birthday party or a vacation? Because they're both inevitable. They are going to happen to all of us. Hope is not a plan. If you're ready to begin to get serious about it, then give me a call. And we'll sit down together and we'll work at this and we'll put together a plan. The consultation is free. My number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. One more time, write it down. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my webpage. My webpage is assetsandaging.com. That's assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, and get in to see me. You can sign up for an appointment. You can send me an email. You can contact me. But remember, hope is not a plan. You have the chance to plan for your family. Take advantage of it. The consultation is free. Thanks for joining me. Make sure you go to my website, listen to my podcast, my radio shows, and we'll see you here again next week, same time, same place, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a great day.